Welcome to the podcast at High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas, a place where the Word of God becomes a way of life. Our hope is that this resource will help you to know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and ultimately to make a difference. We invite you to open up your heart and get ready to hear what God wants to speak to you through this message. Let's listen in.
I am so excited to be here this morning with you guys. It's actually been since 2017 since I've actually been able to be here to preach with you guys. And that's not Pastor Tim's fault. That's my fault. Just a lot of different things going on in my life and just haven't had time to get over here with my spiritual family in Longview. And so for me, as being a part of the High Ridge family, it's always a blessing. And I always get pumped up when I have the opportunity to go and speak at one of our other High Ridge campuses. If you're new to High Ridge Church, High Ridge is actually a family of churches. We have four campuses, Longview, Fort Worth, Graham, Texas, and now Mineral Wells. And I am the campus pastor. Yeah, I'm the campus pastor in Graham, Texas. And so if you're new to High Ridge, you're like, who in the world is this guy on the platform? I'll make it real simple for you. I'm your redneck cousin in Graham, Texas, all right? And so that's me in a nutshell, born and raised in Louisiana. Any Louisiana people in here? Yes, my fam right there. I got you. If it goes down, have my back, all right? So I got to Texas, though, as fast as I could and absolutely love Texas. And so I'm excited to be here this morning. And before we get into the word this morning, I want to give a shout out to your pastor. I love Pastor Tim so much. And if I can do this without getting emotional. So Pastor Tim is like my spiritual big brother. I told you we're a family of churches, and he's like my spiritual big brother. And Pastor Tim, I would say that I've never questioned your love for me, even when I didn't make it easy. And I appreciate you. And you know, what we do is one of the hardest things as a leader and as a pastor. And to know that I've got my big brother a couple hours away praying for me and having my back means the world to me. And I love you and I thank you. And you're an amazing husband, friend, and a great pastor. And so, church, could you give it up for your pastor real quick? So I love you, brother. I love you too, Tina. You're awesome. You're definitely the better half, all right? So, listen, if you have your Bibles this morning, if you would, go ahead and turn to Romans chapter 12. This is where we're going to spend our time today, Romans chapter 12. And if you don't have your Bibles, that's totally fine because we're going to have it on the screens for you. But if you're new here to High Ridge Church, as you heard the video say just a moment ago, the vision here is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference. And we're very, very serious about that vision, and here's why. Because that is God's plan for your life. This isn't just a vision statement. This isn't just another church model. Know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference is one of the four, everybody say four, core promises that God has for your life. God desires not for you just to be in relationship with him, but he also wants you to find freedom. And not only does he want you to find freedom from your past, he also wants you to discover your purpose. Because what God ultimately desires for your life, friend, is for you to make a difference in this world. In fact, the only way you're going to experience fulfillment in this life is when you actually believe that what you're doing with your life is making a difference in this world. And your Creator desires that for your life. So here at High Ridge Church, we desire to take you on this journey to help you experience those promises that God has given you, not High Ridge Church, but that God has given to you, fulfilled in your life. And so what we love to do is not only do we want you to know God and find freedom, we want you ultimately to discover your purpose. See, because we believe that your design will reveal your destiny. In other words, if we can help you understand how God has made you, then that will ultimately help you understand where God is trying to take you. And see, every single one of you in this room, whether you are a teenager or a retired senior adult, and everyone in between, every single one of us in this room, we have a gift, we have a talent that our Creator has placed inside of us. And it is our responsibility as Christians to go on this journey to discovering who God has made us to be. And so we want to help you go on this journey here at High Ridge, understanding who God's made you to be. So where do we get this from? Scripture? In Romans chapter 12, this particular passage has a list of spiritual gifts in it. And what we desire to do in this journey to helping you discover your purpose is help you ultimately to discover what spiritual gift has God given to you for you to use to bring glory to his name. Because when you discover who you are, then you begin to make a difference in this world. And when you begin to make a difference in this world, that's where fulfillment is experienced in your life. And that's what we desire for you. Now, if you're new to church and that whole term spiritual gifts, you're not really sure about that, let me give you a real simple, clear definition of what spiritual gifts are. Spiritual gifts are simply this: any, everyone say any, ability that is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is used to build God's kingdom. A spiritual gift is something your heavenly Father has given you, not your parents, not something you decided you wanted. It's something that God has given to you for a purpose. And that particular ability is empowered by the Holy Spirit and is used to bring glory to God's name. Amen? So let's discover some of these gifts here in Romans chapter 12. And today we're going to focus in on one of these. Romans chapter 12, we're going to pick it up in verse 4. Here's what it says. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function. I love that we don't all look alike. Amen. So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. The one who exhorts or encourages, in his exhortation. The one who contributes, in generosity. The one who leads. This is the one I want you to circle, underline, or highlight in your Bibles, because this is the one we're going to focus in on today. The one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Now, in this particular list, there are 7 different spiritual gifts. And in context, this particular list of spiritual gifts, according to the scripture, every single person in this room, you have one of these spiritual gifts. Now, the other list of spiritual gifts we find in scripture, some of those are limited to whom the Holy Spirit sees fit to distribute those. But in this context, every single person in this room who calls Jesus their Lord and Savior has one of these spiritual gifts. And I hope that kind of gets you excited and interested on going on this journey of discovering which one of these gifts is yours, but we're not going to do that today. Today, we're going to focus in on the spiritual gift of leadership. Now, here's what's interesting about this particular list, because some of you, maybe as you were hearing some of these things, you thought, okay, well, I do serve, but maybe that's not my spiritual gift. And I do lead, but maybe that's not my spiritual gift. And so what's the difference in a spiritual gift and just something we're all supposed to do as Christians? The difference is the anointing. So for some of you, you have an anointing. What does anointing mean? It's real simple, the favor of God on that particular gift. Some of you have a spiritual gift of serving. Some of you have the spiritual gift of mercy. I do not, nor does your pastor. Some of you, write it down. I'm saying it next service too. Here we go. So what is the difference? Are we all to serve? Yes. But some of you have the spiritual gift of it. Let me show you what it looks like here. I'll give you another example. Just a moment ago, I was sitting on the front row and I was worshiping and singing my heart out. But it is not my spiritual gift, and you're welcome, all right? But we're all to worship. We're all to serve. So let's go back to this spiritual gift of leading. Some of you in this room have the spiritual gift of leadership. There is an anointing on your life that God is going to use to take you into your destiny, to be a leader, and that is going to be your spiritual gift. But for all of us in this room, we are all called to some degree to lead, amen? And whether that is leading yourself, whether that's leading your marriage, your family, in your school, in your relationship, in this church, all of us are called to lead to some degree. And so today, what I want to share with you are a few things that I've learned in my journey of leadership. And some things that I really think, if you can grab hold of these ideas that I'm going to share with you from God's word today, I truly believe it's going to help you lead better in your life. And listen to me, friend, ultimately, it's going to help you arrive at the destiny that God has for your life. Amen? So that's my hope for you today. So let's pray as we get ready to dig into God's word. Lord, we lift you up this morning and thank you so much for who you are. And thank you for all that you've done so far this morning, God. And I just pray, over the next few moments, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would use my voice to build and encourage your people this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Now, over the past 10 years, I've done some traveling around the world, and I've been able to see some really cool things. And being from Louisiana, I'm an outdoorsman, and I love nature. I love mountains. I love the ocean. And I love seeing different landscapes across the globe. But there's one particular landscape that I think is really underrated in our world, and that is icebergs. Has anybody ever actually seen an iceberg? Point proven right there, right? Nobody plans their vacation. Hey, honey, where are we going next year? Let's go look at icebergs and freeze our butts off. Nobody does that, all right? But nonetheless, they are absolutely incredible and fascinating and even beautiful. In fact, we have a video right here that we're going to play just to show you what some of these icebergs look like. And these particular icebergs that we're going to show you are found off the coast of Greenland, which is north. And what's fascinating to me about icebergs is how unique icebergs actually are from one another. There are all different sizes and shapes, and you'll see throughout this video, different sizes and shapes of icebergs. And for multiple reasons, icebergs will actually break off of glaciers. And they go and they float throughout our oceans. And you can see here, man, isn't that beautiful? And what's, again, interesting to me about icebergs is that each one is uniquely different than the other. Man, look at those colors. Isn't that awesome? I could look at that all day long. But they have different colors and different shapes. And a lot of this is due to the environment and the exposure to the weather. So you can see there the streaks on that iceberg, which was done by the winds and the force of storms that have come along and pushed that iceberg through the oceans. And these icebergs are massive. In fact, some of them have been recorded the size of Rhode Island, the state Rhode Island. And many of us know the story. Of course, it was an iceberg that brought down the Titanic. And again, icebergs are very unique, small and large, and they all have different shapes and sizes and colors, and they're absolutely beautiful. But out of all those facts, to me, one of the most fascinating things about an iceberg is that what you see above the surface is only 10% of the whole. In fact, we have another picture of an iceberg. This is a famous iceberg off the coast of Antarctica. This is an actual picture. Obviously, things at the bottom with lighting has been enhanced. But this is what all icebergs actually look like. What you see above the surface is only 10% of the whole. It's the other 90% below the surface that's interesting to me. Because here's what's interesting. It's the 90% below the surface, the 90% in the dark that gives exposure to the 10% in the light. Now, here's the title of my message today. Embrace the darkness. Embrace the darkness. No, that's not a Star Wars pun, so let me bring some definition for it. The darkness that I'm referring to is not sin in your life. The darkness that I'm referring to are the dark spaces in your life that no one else sees. I'm talking about the areas of your life that no one else sees, the way you treat your wife, the way you talk to your children, what you do with your finances, how you spend time with God, what you look at on the internet when no one's looking, all the dark spaces in your life that no one else gets to see, that's what I'm talking about in embracing the darkness. And what I want you to see and understand today, listen to me, church, please grab hold of this as a Christian. What you do in the dark matters. It absolutely matters. In fact, when I was thinking about this whole concept of leadership and how I would teach on leadership, and I began to reflect on my own life and what I've experienced, here's what I've realized about leadership. The hardest part about leadership is not leading people, it's leading yourself. And there are many Christians in our world and sitting in this room, and I've been guilty and I've been one of them as well, who are great at trying to lead people but terrible at leading ourselves. And I think the reason we fall into this trap is because we lack the understanding of how important it is to embrace the dark spaces in our life and be intentional with those dark spaces in our life. So today I want to help you grab hold of this concept. And the way we're going to do it is by looking at the greatest leader of all time, Jesus Christ himself. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to Mark chapter 1. And if not, we're going to have this passage on the screen. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at a moment in Jesus' life. And by the way, in the Gospels, there are several examples where we find Jesus getting away from the crowds and spending time with his Heavenly Father. We find many examples where Jesus gets alone and focuses on the 90% in his life. And this story is just one example of that. So let's pick it up in verse 35. Here's what it says. And rising early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him, and they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said to them, "Well, let us go on to the next town then, that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." That's why I came out of what? The dark and desolate place. In other words, Jesus is saying, okay, I have spent my time in the 90%. I have been intentional in the dark, so now I can go and do what I need to in the light. What does the light represent? It's your destiny. listen to me, Christian. Every single one of you in this room that has surrendered their life to Jesus, God has a plan for your life. He is ultimately trying to take you somewhere. Where is he trying to take you? To your destiny. But your destiny is only 10% of your whole. And God is trying to take you on this journey. And what we see here with Jesus is that he was intentional in the dark so he could be effective in the light. And I fear the problem for many of us in this room is that we desire the light, but we're not being intentional in the dark. And so that when God takes us to the light, when we arrive at our destiny, we're not as effective as we could be because we weren't intentional in the dark. So we see here in this moment, in this story of Jesus' life, that he was intentional. But not only do we see this in this particular moment in Jesus' life, I believe that if you evaluate Jesus' life as a whole, it tells the same story. Watch this. For all the Bible scholars in the room, how old was Jesus when he started his ministry? How old was Jesus when they crucified him on the cross? 33 minus 30 is 3. Jesus spent only 3 years in the light. Listen to the impact of this. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the one who walked on water, the one who rose people from the dead, only spent 3 years in the public eye. What did he do for the other 30 years? He was intentional in that time and allowing God to work him through the process so that he would be ready for his destiny when he got there. The beauty of this, friend, is for you to understand that God desires the same for your life. He is taking you somewhere. And here's what I can promise you. If you will trust him, you're going to get there. If you'll trust God and his sovereignty and you'll listen to him, sooner or later as a Christian, you will arrive at your destiny. You will find yourself in the light of what God has designed you for. But here's the problem, my friend. If you have not gone through the process in the dark, you're going to find yourself in trouble in the light. So look, here's what I want you to see this morning. Jesus embraced the darkness. And since Jesus embraced the darkness, then we should embrace the dark spaces in our life as well. Since Jesus sets the tone for us as Christians, we should do the same. And here's the beauty about this. It's the dark, that's where our character and our faith is built. And here's the problem with our society and our culture. We want the reverse, right? We all desire the light. We want to get to our destiny. We want to be in the public eye. And we never want to do the work in the dark and in the 90% to get there. So here's what happens. We see this happen in culture all the time. If you want some examples, just go look in the music industry. We find young and talented boys and girls who are absolutely talented. And we take their talent and we thrust them into the light. And the problem is their talent is taking them places that their character can't keep them. And what is the difference? The difference is they haven't gone through the process. They haven't gone through the work and the refining and the molding and the shaping that happens in the 90%. So listen to me, friend. If you trust him, he's going to take you there sooner or later. But don't skip the process now. Embrace the dark in your life. Here's why. Because it's the dark that's going to determine whether you stay in the light or not. Let me say it again. If you trust him, God's going to get you there. But whether you stay there or not will be determined on if you went through the process or not. You decide. That's right. That's good. You decide. Trust him and go through the process. Let me show you what this looks like. Let me get that picture of that iceberg up one more time off the coast of Antarctica. Now, in this particular picture, here's a trick question. It's actually really simple. Which part of the iceberg is exposed the most? The 10%. Watch this. It's the 10% that faces the sun. It's the 10% that takes on the storms and the waves and the wind. But it's the 90% that keeps it exposed. Listen to me, friend. When you get to your destiny, when you get to the light, you better get ready. And listen, I'm not trying to scare you, but here's what I'm honestly going to tell you. When you decide to be who God has called you to be, and when you decide to do what God has called you to do, you better get ready. Because here comes the exposure. What do I mean by that? I mean, here comes the storms. Here comes the attacks of the enemy. The last thing the devil wants for your life is for you to figure out that you are joint heirs with Christ, that you are royalty, and that God has a plan for your life. It's the last thing he wants for your life. And what's going to happen is as soon as you buy into that idea and you become who God's called you to be, here comes the exposure. And again, when you get there, whether you stay there or not will determine what you did in the dark and how you were intentional in the 90%. Embrace the dark spaces in your life because it matters. Number three, not only does Jesus embrace the dark, not only should we embrace the dark spaces in our life, but watch this, we need to make a plan for the dark spaces in our life. You got to make a plan. So here, I'm going to help you do that right now, real simple. Let me ask you a question. If there was one area in your life right now, a dark space, and again, it could be your marriage, it could be your kids, it could be your career, it could be your finances, it could be what college you're going to, it could be a relationship, a hobby, your time with the Lord, whatever that dark space is, what is one space in your life where you want to get better? I'm not even going to say fix. I'm just going to say get better. What's one area where you want to get better? And again, here's why I'm trying to help you with this, because I know some of you sitting out there, you're freaking out right now. You're like, Pastor Zach, if you could just see my dark spaces, oh my Lord, get Dr. Phil up in this place, all right? Like it's falling apart. I don't even know where to start. I get it. I've been there. Pick one. Start with one. Start with one, like what is one area right now? Man, if you could be very, very intentional in this place and get better or let go of this thing in your life, what would that thing be? Let's take that on. And I want you to answer that. What is it in your life? I want you to think about it right now in this moment so that you can apply everything else that I'm about to give you. What is that one space? Now, here's the second thing. You've got to make a plan. Okay, in this area where I want to get better, where I want to honor you, God, where I want to grow, or this thing that I want to let go of, I need to make a plan. So now what am I going to do with it? You're not going to like this answer. The next thing you've got to do is you've got to find some accountability in your life. Yeah. Uh-oh. Because look, I don't know about you, but here's been my experience as a Christian. Okay, God, I know I need to fix this or get better at this or let this go or stop doing this or start doing something. I know I need to do that, but God, hey, God, let's just keep between me and you, man. Hey, just between us. Because you're full of grace. You're full of mercy. I'm just going to keep it between you and I. And the struggle for many of us is we have these things that we want to fix. In fact, some of you are in the midst of trying to do it right now. But here's the problem. You've been doing it by yourself. God did not design us that way. The Bible shows us that we are meant to be in relationship with other believers. So how do you do that? Number one, you need to find a mentor. You need to find a mentor in your life. In fact, I grew up in Louisiana. Go Tigers and Saints. Here we go, babe. Looking good this year. Hey, go Cowboys. I'm a Cowboy fan. Y'all are making it really hard, but I'm a Cowboy fan as well. But growing up in Louisiana, I'd never been taught that. I had a great dad and a great mom, a great family, but I had never been taught or even heard the concept of you need a mentor. And this goes towards teenagers and, again, any senior adults in the room and everyone in between. You need a mentor in your life. You need someone that's going to walk with you, not lead you, but walk with you in your destiny. Now, let me give you a couple of keys to this mentor. Watch this. Number one key to finding a great mentor, they need to love Jesus more than they love you. They need to love Jesus more than they love you because you need someone who's going to be there in the valley with you. You need someone that's going to be in the boat with you. And they're not going to tell you what you want to hear, but they're going to tell you what you need to hear. And if they love Jesus more than you, then that's going to be filtered through the scriptures. You need someone that loves you. You need a mentor in your life. And hey, here's another key to this. It can't be your BFF. It can't be your spouse. It can't be your kid. And listen, I've seen that happen. I've seen older adults rely on their kids for more leadership in their life. And that's not a burden that should be placed on a child. Your mentor needs to be a season or two ahead of you in life. A season or two ahead of you in life. They need to love Jesus more than they love you. Number two, not only do you need a mentor in your life, but as you identify this dark space, you need to get into a group. I'm glad y'all liked that one. First service didn't like that one. And I know what some people think, oh, here we go, another infomercial on groups. Sign up for a High Ridge group. Hey, listen, here's what's happened in church culture. Somewhere along the way in the past few years, we've almost made groups like this church model. Like, hey, if you want to grow your church, get home groups. If you want to have a successful church, you better have groups. And somewhere along the way in the church world, we view groups as a model, as a church model. Listen, groups are not a church model. They're a God model. If you go study the early church in Acts 2, they didn't only meet in rows, they met in circles. Why? Because God has designed us as human beings to do life with other human beings. This is a spiritual family. We don't take that lightly. We've got to go through this together. In fact, James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another so that you may be healed. Listen, watch this. That scripture is not telling you that other human beings can forgive you of sin. Only God can forgive sin. So what is it saying? It's saying, listen, this whole find freedom, you've got to do it with other Christians. You want to overcome your past? You want to get some of these chains and this bondage that is still on you as a Christian from your past and these habits that you have? You better go and get in relationships with other Christians because it's how God designed it. It is his process. So you need to have a mentor. You need to be in a group. Find accountability in your life. Step up and embrace the darkness. Be intentional with the dark so you can be effective in the light. The last encouragement I have for some of you is that some of you in this room, you're business leaders. There are business leaders in this room, businessmen and women in this room. You are leaders in your company, in your business, maybe even in this organization, maybe in this church or in this town. And here's what I want to encourage you to do. And the question I want you to ask yourself, are you using the gifts and talents that God has given you to be effective in the light as well? There's something happening, in my opinion. I have no stats or facts to back this up, but I think there is something stirring right now in America and business leaders in America. And here's what's happening. They are starting to decompartmentalize their relationship with God and what they do with their career. And they're actually starting to see that those things go hand in hand. And right now, I'm telling you, you want to know what the hope of our nation is? It's not a better government. It's Christians being who God has called them to be. And that does not exempt you, business leaders. And so listen, some of you, man, God has gifted you to go and take something and structure it and bring in the systems and processes it needs to be successful and bear fruit. And God is, man, that's a gift. So listen, if you're in this room and that's one of your gifts and you've had this burning desire and you've been asking God, man, God, how can I use what I do in this company, in this chosen field that I'm in or in my career to glorify your name? Here's what I want to encourage you to do. Start being intentional in the dark. How? Go to uniteandlead.com. Let me say it again. Uniteandlead.com. Don't ask me to spell it. I'm from Louisiana. All right? I'm a product of our education system. It's not great. All right. So anyways, uniteandlead. I'm just kidding. I can spell it. Uniteandlead.com. But listen to me, friend. In fact, here, let me ask you this. How many of you went to the Unite conference that happened a few months ago? Yeah, awesome. Listen, I was in the room. And I truly believe what John Maxwell said in that something is happening here in Longview. You've got a group of churches, and yours is one of them, deciding, hey, we're not going to compartmentalize our relationship with Jesus. We're going to impact our town, and we're going to be the church. How? By being the businessmen and women that God has called us to be. And not just looking at how are we going to make our business profitable, but how are we going to make our town profitable. And so listen, if that's something that stirs in your heart, go to uniteandlead.com and be a part of what's happening because awesome things are happening here in Longview, Texas. Amen? Amen. I'll finish with this today. I know for many of you, here's going to be the temptation. The temptation, once again, is going to be to hold this to yourself. This dark space that you've already defined in your life, the temptation's going to be, you know what? I don't need to let anyone in. I got this. I can do this. God, give me one more chance, God. Give me one more chance to fix this or do better in this or to let this go or to start this habit in life before I let someone else in. And the temptation, again, once again, is going to be to isolate you from a spiritual family who is here to help you go on your journey. You know what I love about Hybrid Church? We don't look for people to come and help us build our vision. We just make sure our vision builds people. But if you don't let us in, we can't do that. So go find a mentor. And here's what I've learned. I've learned this the hard way. The price of concealment. Listen to me, friend. Somebody needs to hear this. The price of concealment is always greater than the price of confession. And this thing that you're struggling with, this thing that you're holding on to, this area where you want to get better, listen, you've got to confess it. You've got to find someone who can walk with you through the valleys. And not just Jesus. Yes, Jesus is there with you. Yes, the Holy Spirit. I get that. But that same Jesus also designed you to walk through those valleys with other believers. And we have a church full of those believers who are willing to do just that. But you got to let them in. You got to let them in. Embrace the dark spaces in our life. Let's be intentional in the dark so we can be effective in the light. Amen? Let me pray for you this morning. Lord, I lift up every single person in this room, including myself, God. God, for all of us in this room, our ultimate desire, God, is just to be who you've called us to be and to do what you've called us to do. And God, that sounds so simple, but it is very, very complex. It's so hard for us sometimes as Christians, God, to know whether we're on the right journey, on the right path or not. What begins to happen is we stop caring and we stop being intentional with these dark spaces in our life. So God, my prayer this morning for all of us in this room, for everyone in this room who has already defined what that dark space is, where they want to get better, God, that you would give them the strength to be intentional in those areas. God, for every person in this room who doesn't have a mentor, I pray you open up opportunities for them to find a mentor, bring the right man or woman into their life to walk with them on this journey. God, for every orphaned Christian in this room who feels that they don't have a spiritual family, God, may you give them the strength to reach out and find a group. Find a group of people that loves Jesus and loves them and can also help them walk on this journey that you have for their life. God, again, we are asking that you would use us to make a difference in this world. But in order to do that, God, we've got to be able to hear your voice, and we've got to be willing to embrace the dark spaces in our life and be intentional. So give us the strength to do that for your glory, for your namesake. Thank you, Lord.
Hey friends, this is Pastor Tim once again coming to you from High Ridge Church right here in Longview, Texas. I want to thank each of you for listening personally to this message, but I need you to understand that this is not a replacement for a good church home. So if you're ever in the Longview area, we would love to see you and meet you and hear your story and hear what God's doing in your life. So drop by one of our Sunday services. If you want to check us out online, that's perfectly okay as well, highridgelv.com. Let me just talk to you for one last moment about your walk with Christ. Maybe you're watching today and you're saying to yourself, Pastor, if I'm going to be really honest with you, I don't know where my walk with Christ is. I'm not sure if I've asked him in my heart. I'm not sure what happens at the end of my life. Or maybe you're saying, I used to walk with God, but I've gotten away from it. Friend, whether you've never asked Christ into your heart or you've walked away from him, I believe that if you could see it right now, God himself is reaching down his hand to you. This is your moment. This is your opportunity. I found myself in the exact same place many years ago, and I didn't know what to do, but I knew that something needed to change. I needed help. Somebody loved me enough to help me. It led me in a simple prayer, and I'd love to have the same wonderful opportunity to do that with you as well. So if that's you today and you've never asked Christ into your heart, or maybe you used to walk with Christ but you've walked away from him and he knows it and you know it, then let me pray this prayer with you. You can say this out loud or in your heart right where you are. I believe that God will hear this prayer and your life will absolutely change today. So pray with me. The prayer goes like this. Just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came and died but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I ask you to come into my heart, be the Lord of my life, forgive me, heal me, change me, and give myself to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, friend, if you just prayed that prayer with me, I am so thrilled about the decision that you just made. Would you do me a favor? Go online and send me a message if that's okay. HighRidgeLV.com/contact and click on the tab that says send us a message. Let us know what just happened inside of your heart so we can send you some resources and help you out in your walk with Christ. That would mean a lot to us if you would. I want to say a very special thank you for your generosity, for your tithes and offerings. The way that you guys have financially supported us is just incredible. We could not do it without you.
If you'd like to financially support us as well, you can go to highridgelv.com/give if you'd feel so inclined. So once again, thank you for tuning in. We love you. God bless.